best time here. And but it's going to focus on the grace of God. So that's what it's going to be about. I want you to open up. If you're expecting to find something about grace there, you won't. I like doing things like that, you know. Okay. Last week, as Chris was praying over me, talking about being a watchman and the theme that was woven in there was about being prepared and being ready, and how in the day of evil, it's important for God's people, anybody, that they can see what's coming up and get hidden in Christ. Go to the place of refuge in Christ. And one of the things that happens just automatically by deepening our relationship with God is that there is that sense of peace and protection that happens. But also what comes is a bunch of God's wisdom to us. And he gives us the wisdom to know how to continue in this preparation for the things that are happening in the world. Because as what's been mentioned a lot by numbers of people, we are in the evil day. It is the time when evil is abounding more and more. And it's important for especially God's people to be a light in the world in a dark place that keeps getting darker. Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. And it really is important that we as people of light stand against the darkness. Yes. And that goes in terms of the whole concept of sin, but it also applies to other areas of life. And this, what we talk about with rights and freedoms and all of that, that's part of that too. God wants us to have a freedom. It's inherent in God that we be free. You believe that?
Yes.
Yes. Give us free will.
Okay. So it's important. And God has limited himself that way. That he gives us the choice. He gives us free will, and he wants these good choices to come forth. All right, now, I'm going to read here. It's 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read verse 2. It says, talking to the elders, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy money, but for a ready mind, of a ready mind." Now, that word ready, I think I brought this out Sunday evening at the interview time. That word ready is the word prothumos, and it means to have a forward spirit. Isn't that interesting? To look ahead, to see what's coming, to be ready. To have a prepared mind, to be prudent, in other words. Everybody getting this? It's very important for us. Now, this is talking to the elders, but there's something more that's here. If you look in the Psalms 110, verse 3, it says, thy people, talking about all of us, thy people will volunteer freely. Or another translation is, will be willing in the day of your power. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we get to the end of the message. We're going to kind of do a 360. We're starting in 1 Peter 5. We're going to come back to 1 Peter 5 toward the end and finalize with Psalm 110:3 again, where it talks about God's people being willing in the day of his power. Willing for what? We're going to talk about that. Because all of this has to do with grace. grace, as you're going to find out.
Okay. All right. So, this word prothumos means to be forward in spirit, to be willing. The word, the first part of it, pro means ahead of, and thumos deals with passion. Passion. And I get this just about every time Dan says something. There's a passion there, isn't there? There's passion. And it's important for us, you know, to feel the desire and the passion that someone else in Christ has can be a spark that lights something in you. And that's really important. And it really is looking out at. It's looking out ahead because, I mean, if we see what's in store for us, can't any of us, wouldn't all of us be so excited if Jesus walked in that door right now in all his glory? Oh my gosh. What do you think? What did that do just hearing that inside of you? Oh, no, right. Oh, yeah, well, you know. Yeah, it might scare you a little bit. But I'll tell you what. When you and I see the risen Christ, we are going to be down on our faces and glorifying God, and our hands are going to go up because it's just going to be drawn from us. He's so powerful. He's so loving. He's so good. He is so kind. He is so great. It's just gonna suck right out of us. All that we have in there for him is gonna come out, and it's shaded over by this life. You know, I hate it. But there's got to be some kind of passion. Do you stir yourselves up? Do we stir ourselves up enough? Well, boy, when we read the Word of God, bam, something should be going on, right? Yeah, we don't want to do it in our flesh, but all right. Now, if God's people are going to be willing in the day of His power, I haven't found that I have this natural thing to serve God. Right? I don't have a natural propensity to put aside my desires and lusts and all of that and choose God. I need His help. And if a people are going to be willing, everybody here want to be willing to be useful to the Master in the day of His power?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? And then... But we don't have that ability. So we need to find that ability. And that's going to come from
grace.
Yeah, it's going to come by grace. It's going to come from God, isn't it? Now, I want to start this off by giving you a little bit of definition. All right. Grace is the Greek word charis. And charis means, besides grace, God's gift, His favor, and His divine influence. Okay? So, when we talk about grace, we're talking about how God can influence us by what He speaks to our minds, by feelings that He can touch us with, feelings of compassion for somebody, or thoughts about, well, I need to do this, or I need to stop this. And God influences us He doesn't make us, but He tries to influence us by giving us those little pieces of Himself, His thoughts, His feelings about things. And this is called His grace. Yeah? This is His grace. It's this favor that He pours out to us. It's a gift of Himself to us. That's what God's grace is. Okay? Okay. Now, One of God's gifts to us is divine ability. Being able to do something that you have no power to do in and of yourself. God gives us ability to do things. Now, that the Greek word for that specific type of grace is called charisma. We anglicize it and say charisma. Right? And churches are individuals who are moving in God's grace, in His gifts, are called charismatic. Well, that's a charismatic person, or that we're a charismatic church. Well, what does that mean? We're moving in His gifts. We're moving in His divine influence. That's what it means, right? It doesn't mean that everybody is speaking in tongues, or everybody has their hands up at the same time. It doesn't mean that, because we seem to look at outward things a lot. It's what's going on inside a person's heart. And we can, and there's many expressions that happen that are a sign of God moving in our heart. All of us have been charismatic at some point or another. And there's one other word I want to mention, and this is the flow of this divine ability, this divine influence, this flowing of that through a person is a word in the Greek that sounds almost like charisma. It's pronounced chrisma. And chrisma is the word for anointing. So when you're moving in the anointing of God, it is the pouring out of this grace through a person. Okay, you got that? So these are all kind of words that maybe you've known, or if you don't know, it's good for us to understand that God is in the business of giving gifts out to people. God is a giver, and God wants to give us. And we are in the Bible says we're in a dispensation of grace. In other words, this is God's big business that He does, is to favor us. Favor us. Isn't that something?
Yes, amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Yes.
Thank God.
Now, these gifts, the scripture says in James 1:17, it says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, right? So anything that is good and is perfect, and it's a gift from God, it isn't something that we inherently have. We've got to ask for it. Right? So let's look at some things here. I want to talk about grace, and maybe we think we know as much as we need to know about grace, but as I was looking into this, I found a little bit more that I didn't realize about grace I'm glad I know now. All right, I'm going to go through some concepts about grace. This is a great, I'm going to start with this one. Do we want to go there? Well, because of everything, I'll just tell you, I'll give you the scripture. The scripture is Romans 5:20-21. And it's the scripture that talks about where evil abounds, grace abounds the more. When we're in situations where evil's coming in, and it's coming in more and more, God will be there to supply us with even more grace. Isn't that good?
Yes.
When we're going into the days that we're going into, we've got to have a solid understanding that there isn't anything that's going to happen that God isn't going to be there for us and give us His influence to know what to do, what to say, where to be.
how to handle something, what kind of attitude that we need to have when we're facing certain people. Yeah?
Yes.
God will be there all the time. And so I have down here, grace always meets our circumstances. God will have enough grace that He's giving out to His people so that we can meet the circumstance we're in.
Exactly.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful about grace? God doesn't just throw a little tiny piece of grace and we're in this overwhelming situation. Anything to the degree that we're facing something, God has a grace, and even more so, to push back the evil that's coming, the negative thoughts, the unbelief. We can rise up, somebody said that, we can rise up and get beyond any circumstance that happens in our life. Yeah!
Yes.
And yet we find ourselves not always winning there. But we've got to realize it.
The thing about grace is that
it's always there. Grace is always there for you and me. And when things are worsening, there's going to be more grace there for us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Another scripture is 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'm not going to go to it. It says that my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay? Now, that means that
whatever amount that God gives us is the right amount for us. It's the right intensity. It's and it's exactly what we need. And we don't need to be complaining for more. Right?
Okay. All right. Second concept, Ephesians 2:8. Why don't we'll go there. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says this: for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So what do we see here? We see that, first of all, that grace is involved in salvation.
Yes.
And what is grace again?
Gift.
It's a gift of God, and it even says it right there in that scripture. What else? How else can you describe this?
Favor.
It's God's favor. Okay? It's God's influence, His divine influence on us. So He's speaking or making us sense something. And we need that to become saved. We're not going to do it on our own. But there's something else here. Because it doesn't say, by grace are you saved. It says, by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. And I've noticed as you read through the scriptures, you'll see that grace and faith are coupled together. You know why? Because though God pours out His grace, not everybody receives it. Just because God in these last days is going to pour out His grace upon His people, it's only going to have an effect on those who by faith receive it. Do you understand this?
I think this is an important point. I wrote down the way I described this as,
grace must be acted upon. I never thought of it like that. I guess, you know, in the back of my head I thought about it. But I just, you know, God's grace, it was something He just gave me. But yet, it doesn't mean anything unless I appropriate it. Unless I step out in faith. Yeah?
Yes.
So grace and faith must go together. Grace needs to be acted upon. Right?
That's why It's kind of dangerous in the end times to only have this thought in your mind. Oh, God's going to take care of it. I have no question in my mind. There's no question in my mind God's going to take care of me. But am I going to seek him enough and know him enough that when he speaks, I'm going to hear him and I'm going to be obedient to that? Because all the grace that he gives at the end of the age isn't going to do me or you a bit of good unless we're people that are seeking him with all our hearts.
Amen.
That we have this prothumos, this passion for more of him, to understand him, to love him, and to hold on to him. And that he's worthy of all that that he's done for us to give our lives so completely to him. But we don't want to do that because there's this flesh nature. And we've got to set that aside.
I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Next one. I'm going down through these kind of fast, I guess. Here's another interesting concept. Grace can grow. Do you know that? The grace that you have can grow.
How many of you believe that? You don't think I'm teasing you to see if you know your scripture or not?
All right. Here's the scripture for that. It's 2 Peter 3:18. And there's a command right there that says, grow in the grace. Grow in the grace. You got that?
But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can grow in grace. Well, that's kind of interesting. If we can grow in grace, I wonder if we can not grow in grace. If the command is to grow in grace, does that mean that if we're not careful, we won't be growing in grace?
Yes.
In fact, if grace is a high place in Christ, to move in the grace of God, right? To move in his favor, to move in that divine influence. The scripture says in Galatians 5:4, it says, beware lest you fall from grace. Yeah. So we could, the grace that we move in is an ongoing situation, isn't it? Now, how do we grow in grace? How do we grow in grace?
Okay, I'll tell you one thing that happens without you realizing that you're growing in grace.
God says, God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. So, when we're moving through life and have a humble attitude, and that means where we're not putting ourselves first, but we prefer others, and we're looking to not elevate the way we think about ourselves or try to make other people think we're so great, but we're doing things because it's in our heart, it's in the heart of God to do things, and you're doing them, and you remain humble, God gives us grace. Well, that's what it says. You can take it or not. But that's what it says. This is a way that we grow in grace. And it's something that's probably that's subtle and probably we don't even realize that God is giving that influence in our life. When we're humble about things and relationships and all of that, when we're being humble about life's matters, then God's speaking. He speaks to us more. God doesn't like the prideful.
No.
Does he?
No.
He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
You know? He pours out this grace under people, and it's so much easier when we're in a humble state of mind to be able to hear that voice.
Amen.
and feel that emotion that God has, that he wants to impart to us, and he wants us to live in. It's easier when we're humble, isn't it?
Yes.
There's another thing, too, that brings that about, and you don't have to turn there. I'll give you the scripture. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly. Notice how you have humble.
Yes.
But there's a flip side to the coin. We can also come boldly into the throne of grace, it says, and we will find help in time of need. There's both things happen. Both things go on.
We can be bold.
This is like people say, well, I'm not going to go to church because I'm not worthy to go to church. I'm not going to pray because I'm not worthy to pray. I still got too many sins in my life, so I'm not really worthy. And yet God wants to pour his grace on you so that you can pray unto him and pray before people and cry out to him for help with sin that might be so easily besetting you. He wants you to understand that the blood of Christ allows you and I to come boldly into his throne and receive the grace that we need at the time that we need it. And so we grow, don't we grow? When you go and you ask for something from God, we can receive it. Yeah.
Amen.
And we go and we say, God, help me in this particular area of sin. God, help me with this attitude that I have. I can come to you. I know that I've asked you 735,000 times about getting me away from that, but I'm going to still boldly come to you, knowing that you're not going to backhand me out of your throne room. Like, you know my condition, and you love me anyway, and so therefore I can come boldly into your throne room of grace and receive that grace. Receive the ability to do what I need to do and get the wisdom that I might need for what's going on in this world. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how does grace wane? How do we fall from grace? Well, it's going to be the exact opposite. When you don't act upon the grace that God is always giving to you, right? When we are prideful. Alright, so just take the opposite and you'll see what happens when we fall from grace. Okay. Next concept about grace. This is cool. Grace is multifaceted. There's more than one kind of grace. It isn't just amazing grace, how sweet the sound, right?
Who saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. There, grace has things to do with more than just coming to a salvation experience. And we've already named some of that. One of those being the fact that we can find grace to help when we're working through some kind of a sin problem. That's one example, right? So grace isn't just about getting saved, having God's grace for us to come to Christ. Yeah?
So we have that. Here's something else that I think is very interesting. So we are going to go to this scripture, and it's 2 Thessalonians. I'm in an area of my Bible where I go a lot, so things are just falling apart like crazy here. So if I lose the page. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. down the wrong one. No, that's not right. It's chapter 1. I put the wrong one down. All right, so it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. All right, here's what it says. Therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and, now watch this, and the work of faith with power. The work of faith with power. Now remember what we were talking about willingly volunteering in the day of his power? Okay, and here it's talking about this work of power, work of faith with power. Then it goes on and says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there is this work of faith with power that's according to God's grace. So there's something about the grace of God that goes beyond salvation, initial salvation, that deals with having the grace of God that will bring us to the place where we're doing works of faith with power. Yes. How many of you want that? Yes. Don't you think you need that? Yes. I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be a greater need as things get worse in the day of evil, and more and more bad things start happening in terms of the power gifts, healings. Yeah? Yes. You think so? Yes. There's going to be a tremendous need for these works of faith with power. And these works of faith with power are only going to come by the grace of God, according to the grace of God. Right? According to his grace, these works of power are going to be done. Now, I want to clear something up here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to say something there's nothing that we can do. It's not by works that we become saved, right? It's by grace through faith that we, in Ephesians 2:8, it says, not by works, lest any man should boast, right? But there is something that I want to talk about here in terms of works. Now here's what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, and they're talking about these, meaning actions and thoughts that are dishonorable. Works of the flesh. You got that? If a man purges himself from these, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and useful, and suitable for the master's use, prepared for every good work. You get this? See, now, grace comes to us, and we have to be people that take that grace and use it. Right? We have to be aware that God is favoring us, that God we're sensing the divine influence on our mind or in our heart. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to be able to sense that and then we act upon it. What gets in the way of us sensing God's voice compared to someone else's, our own or someone else's? Or the feelings that we have. What gets in the way?
Distractions.
Yeah, it's the deeds of the flesh. And if we then move into that place where we go, you know what?
I want to serve God with all my heart. I want to serve him with passion. I want that prothumos to be alive and living and working in me. And we allow the Spirit of God to purge us of the things of this flesh, this life. Then it's easier for us to hear and sense and feel the divine influence in our life. Do you get that? And that stops a lot of people because, especially in America, the church is, I wouldn't say, really, they'll talk about righteousness, but the internal work of righteousness in lots of people's hearts, they're not thinking about God that much. Even in the church, we wouldn't have the problems in this country. You say, well, how do you know that? We wouldn't have the problems in this country if it wasn't for that. When there was a more of a godliness in people's minds and hearts, going to church and really wanting to be there and wanting to know the Lord more and to deny yourself and stay away from the things what's on TV and all these things, to be able to turn away from that stuff. People don't seem to have the spiritual strength to turn away from that stuff. And that's why we're in the situation we're in. It's very obvious. It's because the church is weak. The church has lost its savor. And when we turn back to that, like what we're going to be praying for in 9/11, maybe there could be a turnaround. Otherwise, we're doomed to the results of our own lassitude and
fleshy exuberances. So, coming down to it here. You with me? You still with me? Okay, I got one more thing to cover. One last point. Now, I mentioned Sunday night.
We are in a time of extraordinary events. God, even from God's point of view, he's shaking anything that can be shaken. The foundations upon which the Christian church and the world have been built for thousands of years are being destroyed. We're in extraordinary times, don't you think? We're in time where it says that evil is going to abound. In the end times, men are going to be lovers of self, and it goes through, it's going to be times of stress, it's going to be times of danger. All of these things. And here we are, this is the time that we're in. This is extraordinary. It's extraordinary. What you hear on the news today, and then you think, it can't get any worse than this. And then the next day it's worse.
So we're in extraordinary times.
What do you think God is going to do about that for us who have a heart for him? He's going to give us an extraordinary amount of grace. But what he gives out needs to be appropriated and needs to be acted on. We need to have that prothumos, that passion for God, so that when he speaks, we recognize it. We recognize that divine influence, that grace that he is pouring out to us every single second of the day. And therefore, then can be obedient, then can be thoughtful, then can be praying about direction or whatever we need. Otherwise, the grace that's poured out isn't going to mean anything. And there's going to be people in the church that aren't going to receive that grace of God. It's there for them. It's intended for us. But we can miss out.
Oh no, God won't do that. God won't let that happen. Are you kidding? He's done everything that he can do for us.
Amen. You know that.
Okay. So here's this great thing. I just love this.
The book of Acts. There's only one place in the New Testament where the word Acts is. And that's the title of that book. And it's the word endeudaimon. And it means, now this is talking about it's called the Acts of the Apostles, right? That's the official name of the book, Acts of the Apostles. And so we're talking about, this is what endeudaimon means, extraordinary actions. Open displays of the evidence of the working of God. Undeniable demonstrations. And I think the assumption is of power. Isn't that something? And all of these descriptions, whatever one you did, all of them were connected with this. The idea of high personal involvement. Yeah. Really personally involved. When you are personally involved in something, you put your heart and soul into it. When things aren't going the way they need to, that hurts. Doesn't it? God wants us to have this high personal involvement so that when things are not the way they need to be, that we're crying out to God for there to be a change. That will take time and set it aside and pray with a group of people and cry out for our country. And it isn't something that's perfunctory. That this is what church people do. No, it's in our heart. We have this profundus. We have this passion because God has graced us with that. But we have to embrace it. You know, I don't know what you think about me when I'm preaching. When I feel intense inside, and so I'm intense saying something to you guys, right? Now, this is not some little theatrical gimmick that I'm using to stir you up. I'm telling you, when I connect with the scripture, I'm asking God to give me his heart about something. Mm-hmm. Am I getting of God?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so these things that I'm saying to you,
high personal involvement. I've got to put my...
That's right.
All right, now here's the last thing about that I'm going to get to today, about grace. There is a grace that's a special kind of salvation at the end of the age. I'm gonna
read it to you. Again, we're in Peter, and if you go to 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Talking about us. We have this inheritance in verse 4. We have this inheritance reserved in heaven. And then it talks about us here on earth. The power of God through faith unto what?
Salvation
ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, wait a minute.
Salvation, the initial salvation. And there have been people accepting Christ since the time that Jesus was around. That was over 2,000 years ago. So, what's the salvation that's going to be revealed in the end time? Well, it's something different. There's a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the end time. Some special kind of salvation. Not an initial salvation, but something more. Something, and I can't tell you what it is.
But listen to this. If you look over into verse 13, we end up doing a complete 360 here and come back to the first, really to the first scripture that we started this with. It says in verse 13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Another translation says, "Gird up the loins of your mind for action." Okay? "And hope to the end for the grace that's going to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Wow. There's something special going on. A special situation in the end times and a special grace that's going to go with that. Now, what is it exactly? I don't know. But I'll say this to you. Daniel 12:10 says that all these things are going to be happening in the end times. And it says, the wicked aren't going to know, but the wise will know. Amen. And how do we get wise? Yes. Yeah. Have a prothumos. Have a passion for Christ. And we will know what all these things mean. As things start to open up, as the seals are taken off the books, we're going to know. God will provide the grace for us to know. Isn't that great? So, when we're looking at the horrible things that are going to happen, they're going to happen, it's going to be horrible, just get used to it. Accept it. It's going to happen. Oh, no, no, no. We're going to get through this. That is not what the Bible says is going to happen in the days before Christ. I've said this how many times? It says that the day of the Lord, which means a period of time before His coming, His parousia. It says, it's behold the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness and gloominess. Does that sound so great? That's the general slide that things are going to go in. So, you know what? That can make us dark and gloomy. If we don't understand that we got the grace of God.
Right. Amen. Yes.
So, do any of us need to be gloomy about anything?
No.
No. We will find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
There's even going to be this special kind of grace that's coming at the end of this age as bad goes to worse, that God is going to abound more of a particular kind of grace. I don't know what it is. But it's going to deal with works of faith through power.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be for people who embrace that. Hello? I'm putting my hand up. But that does require purging ourselves. Allowing God to purge us. To take our walk with God seriously and not some little side part of our life. This is the most important thing. We're going to be living with God forever. Aren't we? We have stupid little ideas about life, maybe, I don't know. So Lord, we want to be people, Lord. I pray for myself, and I know, Lord, that many, maybe all, every of people that are here, Lord, we pray that we would be people that would be willing in the day of your power, that we would volunteer freely, that we would have a ready mind, a mind that is forward in spirit, that is prothumos, that has that passion to serve you with all of our hearts. And we thank you today, Lord, and we thank you for your amazing, amazing grace that you pour out onto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.